I read of this event. I obviously wasn't there. I can't represent it as a person who was in attendance. But years ago, there was what they called a religious expo. It was held in Chicago. It was over 15 years ago, so you can understand that probably a lot of the world's religions that we would claim today probably weren't there. But in the context of this, the purpose of this religious expo, as it was threefold. It was so that religions could come and they could present who they were. There could be a sense of appreciation and especially explanation. They had breakout rooms where people could go and they could ask questions and they could get literature and develop some knowledge about all of these different religions. If you remember, probably about 30 years ago, about the only thing that really existed in most of our minds was Christianity, very prominent here in the United States, Buddhism, Confucius, Hinduism, and really that was about it. Even Islam was very, very, foreign to us because it just really wasn't prevalent here at all. It was probably always on the landscape, but never really here. And of course, there was Judaism. We knew about the Israelites and the Jews. But at this expo, that's what was going on. And everything that was presented basically had a common theme, except for that of Christianity, very, very different. The common theme that threw all of these religions together was basically what you and I have experienced and explained many times, is that life is a balance. And, and if you sin over here, it throws the balance tilted this way because there's sin here. And the only way to correct that is to counteract it with a good deed. And somehow at the end of your life, if you have enough good deeds and they outweigh the bad, then you know what? And if you survive all of this, then you're probably going to get their equivalent of heaven if you do that right thing. You and I know that has never been much good. It's never helped a whole lot. And one by one, there was the open presentation where they would come and they would present why they thought their faith was superior. And during one of the sessions, there was a pastor there. It's Pastor Joseph Cook. He was from Boston. And in the midst of all of this, it was his turn to present. And as he got up, he just began his session with these words. He said, "Gentlemen, I beg to introduce to you a woman with great sorrow. There are bloodstains all over her hands. Nothing she can do can remove them. The blood of that is which is of murder. She is murdered and nothing can take away the stain of the blood from her hands. She has been driven to desperation in her distress." And then he says, "Is there anything in your religion that will remove her sin and give her peace?" And of course, there was a hush that fell over the crowd. There was just this quiet. And then he replied, as he looked into the Bible, he opened it to the New Testament over here with 1 John. And he said, "John, can you tell this woman how to get rid of her sin?" Again, he paused just a second. And then he said this. He said, "Listen, as John, the apostle of Jesus Christ, speaks." And he says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." In all of the other religions, it was all of this competitive lifestyle that said, if I live enough good stuff, then it overcomes the bad stuff, and I'll get to be rewarded with it. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sin. All of the sin that has been way over here, the tilted balance that has gone so far over here that will never, never be counteracted by all the good that we have in our life, it has been supplied by Jesus Christ and through his shed blood. And ladies and gentlemen, that took place where? At the cross. It took place on the cross. We don't talk about the cross anymore, do we? Really, truly, you stop and think about it, we just don't talk about the cross anymore. And I'm not saying that as a condemning comment to us necessarily, because I know that here we embrace the cross. And I'm not saying that we're guilty of ignoring it or just absolutely just, looking over the cross. I'm saying as a general culture, we don't talk about the cross anymore. We really don't hear about the pain and suffering of Jesus Christ. I know that sometimes it's uncomfortable, it's unexplained. How do you talk about this? It's not convenient, and people are looking for a convenient and comfortable gospel. We don't talk about the cross. We don't talk about sin, because nobody really wants to be reminded of their sin, are they? We don't want to talk about hell, because hell, if it's a reality, and I have my sin, and if I am, even back to that balance thing, I realize that that's where I'm destined to live out the rest of my eternity, if I believe in an eternity. We don't talk about obedience, do we? We'd rather talk about the things that God can do for me to make me feel better. I want a pleasureful gospel. I want a convenient gospel. I want a gospel that fits into my lifestyle. A cross is a very painful image if you look at it. A lot of the cross is something that everybody accepts. It's on the top of our buildings. It's in our pictures. We wear it around our neck. But we never really seem to really look deep within its message and embrace what the cross is really all about. We don't talk about those things, sin, hell, obedience. Oh, and sacrifice too, because sacrifice would have to be added to the picture if we're going to talk about the cross. All we want is a gospel that makes me a better person. I want to learn how to get through life. I want to learn how to get along with other people. I want to learn how to better my family. I want a prosperous gospel. Now, I don't mean this as cruel statements. I'm just telling you the truth. I would rather have something that tells me how I could gain instead of something that I might have to lose. And whenever you go to the cross, ladies and gentlemen, there is great loss. There is great loss. Jesus lost his life on the cross. We lose everything at the cross if we submit our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to hear about being a better person. I don't want to hear about being a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's tough stuff. And you're not excited about me going down this road right now, are you? Because you're going, oh, no, I hope this doesn't get personal. I hope it doesn't get into my area of the life. I hope it doesn't make me feel uncomfortable. Who wants to go to church to be made to feel uncomfortable? I mean, do you really like those preachers that are going to slam and beat his Bible and point his finger at you and yell and scream? Hey, it may be what we were used to years ago, and it may resonate with something from the past, but it's not something we really want. Do you want your boss to come into your cubicle or wherever you work and start pointing his finger in your face and telling you how bad you are and how wrong you are and how you need to do better and blah, blah, blah? And sometimes that's what we think about the gospel. Instead, I would gravitate toward a church setting that says, come on in. We're going to make it comfortable, and it's going to be easy. We're going to sing these sweet little Jesus songs, and you're going to leave here feeling better. But you're probably not going to leave here feeling changed. We've got to choose. Are we going to be changed, or do we want just a little pick-me-up? Do I just want a pep pill? Do I just want something to make me feel better? I know none of you want to sign up for this. I didn't want to sign up for this sermon. I said, God, I'd rather be funny today. I'd rather talk stories. I'd rather talk about what happened yesterday on the football field. I'd rather do this, that, and the other in my flesh, but my spirit is literally and internally linked to the cross. And that's why we must go back and revisit the cross and never lose sight of the cross and what the cross has done in our life. The cross of Jesus Christ and the death of Jesus on the cross is the central truth of this book called the Bible. Everything in the Old Testament that happened, it was leading up to the coming Christ, the Messiah that would come. Everything that happened after that is a reflection back to this central event in the Bible that changes everything. Without the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, without him on the cross, then you know what? The Bible is nothing but a dark book. It has great stories, fabulous stories. There's Jonah. There's Noah. There's Moses. There's all these awesome stories. And as a kid, they're just awesomer than awesome. Now, I know that's a made-up word, but it sure felt pretty good. There's these great teachings, these incredible miracles, these fabulous stories, but we're missing the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we have to go back to the cross. Never, ever leave the cross. Visit with me in Galatians, the 6th chapter, the words of Paul. Paul says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Here's what Paul is saying. He said, you know what? I don't have anything to talk about. I don't have anything to brag about. I don't have anything to boast about. And we don't like that word because, you know what? We know people who boast. We know who people who brag. We feel uncomfortable around people who brag and talk about all of this stuff that they have, whether it's their amount of money they have or what they've done or the plaques on their wall or the trophies on the shelf or how big they are or how smart they are. We don't like people like that. But Paul is not saying, I am boasting in anything of myself. He said, you know, I have nothing to say except that I boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying, don't you? He said, listen, I'm going to brag like crazy. But when am I bragging? I'm not bragging about me. I'm bragging about him. I'm bragging what he did. It's the proud dad who has just seen his kid slap one over the fence. It's the proud dad who just saw his son shoot the three-pointer to win the game. It's the proud son that we've seen up here, mother or father, who sees their kids crowned as an honor star. Man, their buttons are just busting. But it's not because of what I did, it's because of what they did, only in reverse. It's Jesus Christ, the Lord and Master of our life, not the son or daughter of our life. It's the Lord and Master of our life and what he did. Then we should brag. Paul is saying, listen, the only resume I have is what Jesus did in my life. I have nothing to boast about except for that. It's not about what I have done. It's about what Jesus did and what he did on the cross. Look at Paul's writings on and on again. He comes back in that. Listen, he didn't boast about his works. And Paul had a pretty impressive resume. I mean, the guy came from this incredible heritage. He did a lot of things. He didn't boast in all of the churches that he planted either. I mean, the majority of the New Testament is based on Paul's writings. He didn't boast about his knowledge either. And he debated some of the smartest men that was on earth at that time. And God used him greatly. But you know what? It's still true today. There is much to be learned at the foot of the cross. There's much to be learned at the foot of the cross. And it is amazing. We search a lot of things. We read books. We go to libraries. We go to sessions. We go to inspirational moments. We go to friends. We go to neighbors. We look for the greatest, newest, coolest ideas. And you know what? Every time you go back to the cross, it's new, it's fresh, it's relevant, and it's very, very personal. And God wants to do something fabulous in you through that moment. Think of our setting here, all of our songs, the fellowship we have, the mission of the church itself. And this church, this physical setting, as well as you and I as a part of the church, it finds its importance only in the cross. Take the cross out of everything that we're doing here, and the glue that makes us a fellowship just disappears. We're just a bunch of people. We might as well just have the same name and go to the same places, buy a bus ticket and go there, see it, and come home, and then just dissolve back into our own life again. That's just all that there would be to it, and that's not what we're trying to do. Without the cross, we're just trying to do our best to be good enough to go to heaven without the assurance of going to heaven. Listen, the only reason you and I can talk about one day we're going to wake up, cross that threshold, and hopefully hear, well done, good and faithful servant, come on in. The only reason we can anticipate that there will be a loved one that will be there to greet us is because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the further we drift away from it, the further we drift away from that central theme of our life, and the further we drift away from its message and its importance and its impression in our life, and we start going backwards. On the cross, the Pharisees thought this: we're going to get rid of that stupid zealot, this Jesus that's confusing everybody, working the people up and everything. We're going to get rid of him. That's what they thought. Pilate thought he was getting rid of this guy that the Jews didn't like, and he was trying to please the people, so he said, by all means, crucify him. Herod thought, you know, on the cross, if this guy would just put him on the cross, kill him, then you know what? There's a political opponent that I don't have to worry about, because you know what? They were calling him the king, and Herod said, there ain't but one king around here, and that's me. And Satan thought, I'll get rid of the enemy. I will eliminate him. But you know what? This is what God thought. God said, you know what? I love you so much that I'm going to send my son to be the Lamb of the world, to die for the sins of everyone in the world. And that's what God did. You know where that happened? It happened on the cross. And that's why we have to keep going back there. I love this Bible. I love the story of his sinless life, his miraculous birth. I love the stories of the miracles that happened through Jesus. I love the fact that he was resurrected from the dead. I love to hear things about, like, when he fed the 5,000 and when he walked on water. All of those things is just fabulous. But you know what? It moves me, intrigues me, it inspires me. But only the cross changes me. You know, you can hear somebody's great story. You can almost wish you'd lived their life. You wish you could have been there for that event. You wish you'd have been sitting on the front row. But it still doesn't do anything to you. It's just something you're watching until it becomes personal, and only through the cross it becomes personal. And now I am new. This is all about me. When you look at the cross, you know whose story you're telling? It's not even just Jesus' story. It's your story. It's where you went one day because you knew you needed a Savior. You didn't need a good guru who had a lot of great advice. You didn't need a professional coach to tell you how to improve your life. You didn't need somebody to tell you how to eat better. You needed somebody to tell you how to get rid of the stain of blood on your hand like murder in the woman that Joseph Cook talked about. You needed somebody to get into your life and to do that for you. You know what? Jesus has never healed me from being blind like he did Bartimaeus. He's never called me from the dead like he did Lazarus. He's never healed me like he did those lepers. There's a lot of things Jesus has never done. He's never said, yeah, Dave, go ahead. Come to me and walk on water. But I do know this much, that he died on the cross for me. And that touches me. It is the one part of this incredible story out of this book that we revere called the Bible to where I get to play a role. It's a personal role. It's not Peter, it's not Lazarus, it's not Bartimaeus, it's not one of the lepers, it's not anybody else. It's when Jesus says, you know what, this appointment is between me and you, and it happens at the cross. And we love to be inspired by all that the work of the Bible says, but this is what happened on the cross. On the cross, he became sin so that I could become forgiven. He became guilty so that I could become innocent. He became punished and was punished so that I could be pardoned. You realize that he died so that I could live. Now, forgive all the personal pronouns there. I, but that's your story too. I say we, I could say we, but I want you to personalize it today. This is your trip to the foot of the cross. This is your road down memory lane back to a place where you met Jesus, and it became, I was touched by him. You know what? I love to hear people's great stories and everything, but you know what? All it is inspiring, but I want it to be my story. You ever seen a movie and go, boy, I wish I could be in there? You know, I play Superman all the time. Yeah, I'm 57 years old. I'm on the edge of death, you know, and all this other stuff, but I still think I'm just this manly man. And, you know, you see things in the movie, you're going, oh, if that happened to me, I'd just, you know, and you just get that Tim Allen, you know, tool time guy, you know, you just think you're going to manhandle it. You know what? The truth of the matter is, I get to step into this story, and it's not about my strength. Really what it's about is my weaknesses. How I'm so weak to live this life. I'm so incapable. I'm just a worthless pastor without the cross. I'm a horrible parent without the cross. Without the cross, I am a failure as a husband. Without the cross, I'm only son by blood to my parents. Without the cross, I'm not your friend. I'm just somebody you know. But with the cross, that's where it all lives. Let me read to you what J.C. Ryle wrote one time. Have you gone to that place from which something within you says you will never rise again? Are you drawing near to that solemn hour when soul and body must part for a season and you must launch into a world unknown? Oh, look steadily at the cross of Christ by faith, and you shall be kept in peace. Fix the eyes of your mind firmly, not on a man-made crucifix, but on Jesus crucified, and he shall deliver you from all of your fears. Though you walk through dark places, he will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Sit under the shadow of the cross to the very last, and its fruits shall be sweet to your taste. Ah, said a dying missionary, there is but one thing needed at the hour of need, and that is to feel one's arms around the cross. I lay these thoughts before you. What you think now about the cross of Christ, I cannot tell, but I can wish you nothing better than this, that you may be able to say with the Apostle Paul, before you die or meet the Lord, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Powerful words. They're words that just draw us like a magnet back to that moment. And the foot of the cross is not a comfortable place. On that day, it was rocky. It was bloody. He was separated by two thieves. There were people that were jeering. It was not convenient. It wasn't comfortable. It wasn't something to celebrate. It was something to avoid at all costs if possible. But our hearts and our souls keep drawing us back to this place. And we fall on our knees and we say, oh God, let me sit. Let me place myself. Let me kneel. Let me fall on my face, if you will, on the floor, on the ground, in this place before your cross. And I don't know how. I cannot explain it, and I'm not going to try to, but somehow all of that makes everything right. All of the junk that's happening, all the confusion, the lack of finances, the way this world is going, personal problems, conflicts I have within myself, tension between me and somebody else, my own problem with the besetting sin that just keeps coming back and back and back. And when I go to the cross, somehow, in a magic moment, or I should say a miraculous moment, God makes it all right. Because I've come back to the very place, the only place I can find peace. How long has it been since you've been there? How long has it been since you've been back to that place at the foot of the cross, where once again you embrace not only the message, but the heart, the spirit, and the soul of a living Savior who said, this moment is all about you. Jesus benefited nothing by dying on the cross for himself. He already had it all. All he could do was lose it all for you and I. Will you bow your heads? Close your eyes. In a matter of moments, we're going to have communion. But before we do so, I want you to have the opportunity that before we embrace these emblems, a little piece of bread representing his broken body, a little vial of grape juice representing his shed blood, will you rather do me a favor and do yourself a favor and just go to the cross? Whatever there's lacking, whatever's hurting, whatever's happened to you, whatever you've done to yourself, the words that came out of your mouth, maybe something that somebody said or did to you, the problems of this week, the lack of finances, on and on and on. Oh, I don't even have to go down the road of what's happening in your own body. The sickness and the pain, the medication that you're on, all of these things. Take a moment and go back to the cross and see if God doesn't make sense of all of it. Not that it will make sense to your mind, but somehow you will be overwhelmed by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ saying very, very calmly into your heart and your spirit, don't worry, my child. I took care of this on the cross. Don't worry. Tomorrow, it's in my hands. I've already been there. I did that on the cross. Your sin, that thing that you regret, the thing you wish you could take back, the relationship you wish you could start all over with, the words you wish you could bring back, you wish you'd never said them, don't worry. I took care of that on the cross. And your future, don't worry. I took care of that on the cross. You don't need me to lead you in a prayer. It's your prayer. Whatever's heavy on your heart, maybe some of you, the thing that you're wanting to do right now, you just want to go back. You know, there's places in our life that we've gone, literal physical places. Maybe it was a vacation. Maybe it's where you grew up. You just like to go there one more time because it would just make things right. Well, go to the cross, and it'll make everything right in your life. Next thing you know, your heart, your mind, your thoughts, your spirit is going to be flooded with the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only peace that comes from there. It was a great place of pain and horrible issues. It was murder, ladies and gentlemen. It was a crime that what happened to Jesus. But when we go there, we only find peace in the midst of great turmoil. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, before we hand out the emblems of communion today, I pray that in every pew, your Holy Spirit will go to every person under the sound of my voice and remind them that the cross is always there and it's always available and it's always for them. God, that today it is our opportunity to not avoid the cross, not wish that we could talk about something else, not to focus on us, but to focus on the cross. Because everything that happened there was for me. Everything you did was for me. And may we truly join with Paul and boast in nothing else except for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it has done and continues to do in our life. In Jesus' name. We ask the men to come forward and help us with our communion today. If you've never had communion with us before, we invite you to please feel welcome to join us in communion. This is not something we do because you're members of the church. This is something we do in the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do this because we want to observe the Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood and body for our life. So we just ask you, please, to just feel welcome to be a part of what we're doing today. And God bless you for helping us with this.